in some things this month of what I'm most thankful for. And the truth is, my list is getting so long, it would take all morning just to think of all the things that I'm thankful for, most thankful for. But one that I actually was going to talk about last week, but the Lord redirected things, I'm thankful for heaven. I'm thankful that heaven is real. Do you know it's real today? Verse number 9 says, and I know that sometimes we quote this verse thinking about heaven. It's talking about heaven, but it's talking about much more than heaven. It's not just limited with heaven. Now, verse number 9 says, but as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath entered in the heart of man the things that God hath prepared for them that love Him. Heaven is real. Now, most people I talk to, even the most vile, the most wicked people that I've ever met, most of them believe in heaven. Most of them think that they're going to go there. Now, they may joke about it now, but when death comes, they, oh, they're in that place. The reality is, we've created a heaven of our own imagination. I asked my wife if we had one of these. I thought, this is where most people get their idea. I mean, you teenagers right up here in the front, May and Curious. She loves it when I call her that. Do you know what this is? You know what it is? What is it, Curious? What? No, it's not a camera. Do you know what it's called? You can't see the front. Everybody in my generation knows this because we had these. Huh? Kids don't know what these are because they got other things now that have replaced it. But this was better than television was still pretty new. This is, you not only see the pictures, but you see them in three-dimensional if your eyes work. This one, actually, I was enjoying it, but it doesn't work because my one eye doesn't work too good, so the three-dimensional thing doesn't work too good. But this is Winnie the Pooh. I can see Winnie the Pooh flying. And you go to the next picture, and there's Winnie the Pooh stuck in a tree. Huh, imagine that. There's Winnie the Pooh stuck with his face in honey. Imagine that. And we've got, I call, a Viewmaster picture of heaven. And by the way, Winnie the Pooh's not real. I know that, Alex, you've never looked so disappointed in your life. He's not a real person. A lot of folks have what I call a Viewmaster idea of heaven. It's what we imagine it to be. We've made a picture of man's own making, our imagination. We're used to maybe seeing artists' rendition of what we would call heaven, or a computer-animated picture of something. We sometimes think of the religious depictions of what heaven is like. We hear people talk about having a near-death experience. They've gone to the other side and they've come back. And we've heard their stories. But I'm really not impressed or concerned about those things. What I want to know is what the Bible says. Amen? I don't know what the Bible says about heaven. The heaven as described in the Bible. Reality is, if we could get a glimpse of heaven, I think our mind would explode. Our mind could not even take in what the realities of heaven are. There's some characters in the Bible that saw heaven. The Apostle Paul died and went to heaven and came back, and he said, it's not lawful for me to speak of what I saw on the other side. And by the way, he didn't see a long tunnel, you know, with grandma and the corn cob pipe and everything else sitting on the porch on a rocking chair. That's somebody at Cracker Barrel waiting for you to show up. But that's not what he saw when he went to heaven. But what he did see, he couldn't even talk about it. Isaiah got a glimpse of heaven. He saw God sitting on His throne. He saw the angels circling around the throne. And He saw that short, brief glimpse of heaven. And the first thing He cried out is, "Woe is me, for I am undone, for I am a man of unclean lips." He saw Himself for who He was, and He saw God for who He was. And it transformed His life. And we talk about heaven like it's some little playland or something, like Disney World or something. John saw a vision of heaven. It's interesting, he saw the same thing that Isaiah saw. He saw God on the throne, and he saw the angels around the throne. He saw a rainbow around the throne. He saw a sea of glass before the throne, and he fell on his face as if he were dead. He didn't stand up and say, "Hey, yo, God, what's up, dude?" That's how some folks approach God. John didn't approach God that way. In fact, his heart was troubled. He wept much because he realized the holiness of God and saw his own sinfulness. And he said that there's no one worthy for me to approach the throne of God. And then he saw a lamb as it had been slain come before him and the throne of God. And that, of course, was Jesus Christ. And his blood was shed on the altar. And again, he rejoiced because through the Lord Jesus Christ, he's now worthy to even look upon the throne of God in heaven. But I'm thankful for heaven. And again, I'm only concerned about what the Bible says about heaven. I'm thinking of preaching a series on prophecy in the next couple of weeks, maybe for a few weeks. But in reality, most of us don't really want to know what the Bible has to say about prophecy. We want to know what's going to happen to us. We want a fortune teller, not the Bible truth about prophecy. In reality, if we saw what the Bible says about prophecy, I don't think it would be a cheerful thing. They wouldn't make hit movies about it. We wouldn't be writing books that'll be bestsellers if you talk about Bible prophecy. And by the way, we do have one book that is still the bestseller that tells us the truth about heaven, tells us the truth about prophecy. But I want you to understand some things about heaven this morning. And number one is this: heaven was not created by man. It's not something that man came up with. Now, all these things that we got ideas of this and I saw this and I get, and that's people's imagination running wild with them. This is not something that man has dreamt up. Man in our world today has created a God in our own image, and we've created a place called heaven where that God lives after our own understanding. But God says, "Eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, neither no man could possibly understand what heaven is all about." It's not something that's created by God. Now, you say, "Well, I just don't believe in heaven." Well, I don't think there's many here that would say that. Maybe you would say it, but you'd be afraid to say it out loud. But God has put in the heart of every man the knowledge of certain things. There's not a person that's in it. I can say that because even the most pagan, the most wicked, even an atheist. I've been at funerals of atheists, or I've listened to atheists talk about a loved one that had gone on into eternity, and they talk about, "Oh, they're in a better place." Well, what's that better place? I thought they just ceased to exist. Oh, they're in that, and they've got a heaven in their own mind. But God has put some things in the mind of man when God created man. By the way, man didn't evolve. Man was created by God. Where do false religions come from? Because man knows some things, inherent things. They understand that there is a God in heaven. The book of Romans says that creation itself declares the glory of God. Everything around us points to the fact that there is a God. I read a note from a scientist just yesterday that said, "The more I read science, the more I have to believe that there is a creator God somewhere." And no one in their right mind would honestly believe that everything just came into being by happenstance, by nothing. Everything had to come from somewhere. And the Bible says we understand that through faith. Now, they understand it through faith in nothing, but we understand it in faith in a person, in Jesus Christ. But science... I'm going to get sidetracked there. Every man was created with the knowledge that there is a God somewhere. And then we've got this person called the Holy Spirit of God. And I'll just mention this very quickly. The Holy Spirit, one ministry to every single person that's ever been born into this world. In John chapter 16 says he will convince the world of sin, of righteousness, and judgment. In other words, every person that's ever walked the face of the earth knows that there's a God. Creation itself tells it that there's a God. And the Holy Spirit convicts us of sin, that I am a sinner. And God is righteous. Then I'm going to stand before Him one day. So we've come up with this. We've come up with all different ideas of how to approach God. But God's given us the only way to truly approach Him. What I'm telling you, this idea of heaven is a lot of folks have this understanding of heaven because we were created with the knowledge that there is an eternal God. Now, Paul knew the wisdom of men. I wanted to outline this chapter, but I'm not going to have time to do all of that. But I want to mention a few things concerning this chapter and read a few verses in here. Paul knew and understand man's wisdom. Paul was a very educated, a very learned man. You say, well, that doesn't make sense with what he wrote in the beginning of this chapter. If you were to read the history of the Apostle Paul's life in his missionary journey before he came to Corinth, which is what he's addressing here in this chapter, just before he came to Corinth, he was in a city of Athens. In fact, he debated with the most scholarly men in the known world on what was called Mars Hills, where the really smart people got together and debated. And the Apostle Paul was a very educated man, and he debated with these people on Mars Hill and tried to convince them, and even quoted some of their own poets, saying that there is a God, and trying to relate their education and their system of knowledge with the truth of the Word of God. And he got exactly nowhere with that. He had no results in Athens. And after he left Athens, he kind of felt defeated and down and discouraged, and he came to the city of Corinth next. And he addressed the church of Corinth with these words. If you look at them again in chapter number 2, this is where we ought to be to begin with. He says, "And I, brethren, when I came unto you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified." In other words, Paul said, "I've learned not to be impressed with my education. I've learned that I'm nobody. I've learned that I don't know everything that I think I know. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling." Paul was used to addressing large crowds even before he was saved. "And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words and man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and power of God, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." What I'm telling you this morning is heaven was not created by man. Paul was not saying, well, this is not man's plan of religion. Now, let me say this. Paul knew religion. He was a very devout, religious man. If religion can get you to heaven, the Apostle Paul would have gone before he was saved. He was a Pharisee. He was a Hebrew of the Hebrews. He was a leader in the Jews' religion. But he, in his own testimony, said, "I counted all this but dung. I realize this is nothing. This is of no value to get me to heaven." Paul knew his religion, but one day he threw all his religion out the window because he met Jesus on the road to Damascus. Amen? When you met Jesus, you don't need religion anymore. And he's saying this in his testimony to the people of Corinth, that, "Oh, if I would have only known." He could say with the religious or with the educated people of his day in verse number 8, "Had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord. If I would have only known what I thought, I knew heaven was not created in man's eyes. Heaven, secondly, is a part of God's eternal plan. The Bible heaven is a part of God's eternal plan. Verse number 6 through 8, howbeit we speak of wisdom among them that are perfect, or those that are saved, those that are born again, and not the wisdom of this world, for the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom. In other words, it's a mystery. It's unrevealed to those that are lost. With us that are saved, we understand it's the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. God ordained the gospel message. God ordained the reality of heaven and understood and created heaven long before you and I were ever even created, long before the world was ever created. Heaven is a part of God's eternal plan. And by the way, God gave us a book, still the bestseller. It's called the Bible. That's God's instruction manual. It tells us how to live our life, but more importantly, it tells us how to get to heaven. And it's only through the person of Jesus Christ. This book is unlike any other book. This book was written and preserved for us by God Himself. This book tells us of man's condemnation. That man was created in the image of God, but then Adam sinned. And now we're no longer created in the image of God. We're procreated in the image of Adam. In other words, we are not born, contrary to what a lot of people teach today, we're not born innocent little babies. We're born murderers, sinners, despisers of them that are haters of God. We're born into this world. Romans chapter number 5 says, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. Wherefore death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Man fell into sin. We're condemned to sin because we all participated in Adam's sin. We participated in the fall of man. And the only solution we have to our sin problem is in salvation in Jesus Christ. For God, you know the verse in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. We might be saved. We will be saved if we trust Jesus Christ as our Savior. Salvation's there for you. And if you trust in Him, you will be saved. If you're still on the border by rejecting or accepting the salvation, well, you might be. You will be if you accept it. If you don't accept, you won't be saved. Someone asked me, what's that word might? There it is, right there. I wish he was here to hear the answer to his question he asked the other day. By the way, you ought to be in church. But I'm glad that you're here this morning. We're saved through Jesus Christ by grace through faith. Ephesians 2, verse 8 and 9, for by grace are you saved through what? Faith. And that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. God's plan for heaven was a part of His eternal plan. God knew when He created man that man was going to sin. You ever stop and think about that? Sometimes folks think, well, man messed up. Now God's got to go to plan B. Plan B was the law. Well, they messed up with theirs, so let's go to plan C. No, God knew before the foundation of the earth that man was going to sin. God knew everything about you long before you were born. Now, God didn't make any choice for you. God always gives man a choice to accept or reject Him, but God knew what your choice was going to be in eternity past. Now, I can't figure that out. If you're smart enough to figure that out, you're far smarter than me. You can maybe explain it to me later. Explainify that one to me, all right? Heaven is a part of God's eternal plan. And heaven is only through the person of Jesus Christ, not through religious sacrifices or church ordinances. And by the way, the sacrifices and the ordinances that are given to the church, the sacrifice of the Old Testament, serve simply as reminders. None of them give us the way of salvation. You can't get to heaven. Now, I was brought up in a so-called Christian church that brought us up to the way of salvation. And instead of calling on God, you're supposed to go through the sacraments, and those sacraments are going to get you to heaven. Now, some folks foolishly visit those kind of churches and say, well, they preach the same gospel as us. Not if you're listening carefully, because they're not trusting Jesus Christ. They're trusting the sacraments, baptism and communion, to get them to heaven. And we were brought up in it, and we look back at it and look at their things that they quote in the little chants that they do. It's more than just, amen, and all those silly little things. There's little things that they do in those chants that they say. If you listen to what's actually being said, you'll see what we're trusting in the sacraments to get us to heaven. Those sacraments can't get you to heaven. The works of the law cannot get you to heaven. Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. The Apostle Peter said it this way in Acts 4:12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we, what? Must be saved. That word must is an important word. Not you might be, you can be, you maybe should be, but you must be saved. You're not going to get to heaven without the new birth. Jesus talked to Nicodemus, another religious man, in John chapter number 3, and said, Nicodemus, you must be born again. And Nicodemus didn't understand that. And Jesus said, how can you, being a leader of the Jews, not understand the most basic truths of the Scripture? Because he's been blinded to the truth of God. How do I know? I'm talking about heaven today. That's the way to heaven, is through Jesus Christ, through salvation in Jesus Christ. Well, how do I know heaven's real? That leads me up to the third thing I want to say. How I know heaven's real. Have you ever been there? No, I've never been there. I've never seen it. I see what God says about what Isaiah saw. Paul wasn't allowed to speak about it when he saw it. What John saw when he got to heaven. What God says that my eye my mind cannot comprehend it, my eyes cannot see, my ears cannot hear all the things that I see in heaven. But I believe this is the context of this whole chapter. I've experienced heaven. I've experienced heaven. What do you mean by that? I trusted Christ as my Savior, and a little bit of heaven has come into my soul. The Holy Spirit of God. God Himself lives inside of us. We sing the song. Sing it with me. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory. Did you catch that? Jesus is mine. I've trusted Jesus, and I've had a foretaste of heaven. I've got a little taste of what heaven is. When Jesus came and save my wretched, lost soul. I can't explain the joy, the change, the transformation that took place. And if you've been saved, you've experienced that same thing. Someone was just telling me this week, and I was actually thinking and praying about this message. And he said, oh, I know that when I got saved, everything was changed. I tasted heaven. I could see heaven. I could feel the very presence of God in my life. And it's by faith. We have now faith. Hebrews says that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I don't see it with my eye, but there's evidence there of heaven. It's real in my soul. God's given me a little glimpse of heaven in my heart and soul when I trusted Christ as my Savior, in the transformation that took place in my I've experienced heaven today. Look at verse number 10. It says, for God hath, verse number 9, is referring to the things that we can't see with our eyes, we can't understand with our mind, we can't hear with our ears, but God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit, by the Holy Spirit who comes inside us when we get saved. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. The Spirit shows us, reveals us, teaches us the Word of God, and applies it to our life today. For what man knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man that is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now God alone understands all the truths of heaven, and He reveals a little bit to us at a time. In verse number 12, now we have received not the spirit of the world. This isn't something that was dreamt up in the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that we are freely given to, that are freely given to us by God. Which things also we speak, not in the words of man wisdom teaching, but wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Now, to understand the Word of God is not, well, I think this, well, I feel this. No, this is what the Bible says here. This is what the Bible says here. Let's compare them and understand what the truth of God is. In verse number 14, but the natural man, the lost man, the carnal man, the man that's not walking in the Spirit, not giving himself to the Word of God, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they're spiritually discerned. He's spiritually dead. He can't comprehend that. And I remember as a lost teenager, I was kind of casually seeking for God. And I'd try to read the Bible and I couldn't understand it. And folks would say, you ought to read the Bible. I tried reading the Bible, but it just didn't make sense. And it had nothing to do with the these and thous. It had to do with the fact that I didn't have God living inside of me. And when I got saved, all of a sudden I went home and I picked up my Bible and started reading it. And it's like somebody turned the light on. All of a sudden it makes sense. Now I can see things because I've been spiritually born. I've experienced a little bit of heaven. He's made the blind to see. The God of this world in 2 Corinthians 4 says, the God of this world has blinded the mind of them which believe not. But lest the light of the glorious gospel, which is the image of God, should shine unto them. My mind was shut off. My mind was my heart was dead to the things of God, and I was blinded to the truth. But when I got saved, all of a sudden I could see. And my vision's getting better every day, by the way. Wish I could say that physically for my vision. I've got to get some cataract surgery so I could see a little bit better. I'm seeing some crazy things every once in a while. First, it reminds me sometimes of 1 Corinthians chapter 13 says, for we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect is come, that which is in part shall be done away. But now we see through a glass darkly. We can see a little bit. You know, you look through those stained glass windows, you don't see much other than light. You know it's day or night out there because you can see the light, but you won't see anybody walking across the parking lot looking through that glass. That's what we see when we look to heaven. We know it's there, but the details are not shown to us. We can't understand. We see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know, even as also I am known. One day I'm going to see clearly when I get to the other. Now, for today, I've heard God's still small voice in the Bible. I've felt the touch of God in my life. I've enjoyed His presence in the cool of the day, walking with Him. But one day, I'm going to step into His very presence. Amen. I've tasted heaven, and one day it's not going to be something that's here. I'm looking forward to going into His presence. The more I walk with Him, the more time I spend in this book, the more time I spend in my face before God in prayer, the more I'm looking forward to getting up and walking into His presence one day. And I don't care if I go through the way of the undertaker or the upper taker, but either way, I'm looking forward to getting to heaven one day. Amen. I may be put in the grave one day, but that's my body. I'm not there. One day my body's going to be taken up out of that grave and I'm going to meet Jesus in the flesh. I'm going to be given a new body. And if He comes before I leave this world in death, I'm going to be transformed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. Now, I'm not talking about some pie in the sky. I'm talking about something that's real. I've experienced, I know His presence. I know that when I read this book, God speaks to me through His Word. Now, if you're saved, you understand what I mean. If you are not saved, you might think, oh man, you must be crazy. You must see something on a different level than what I see. We do, because we've got the Holy Spirit teaching us and guiding us in His truth. I've experienced a little bit of heaven today. And one other thing I want to say, if heaven is real, hell also is real. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven. If I never see the kingdom of heaven, my soul is going to go somewhere when I leave this world. My soul is going to go to, and again, Jesus spoke more of a place called hell than He spoke of heaven. The Bible really gives us more details about hell than it does about heaven. When you talk about prophecy, I've been reading and studying a lot about prophecy lately, just from the Bible, not from the pop theologians today. When you truly study prophecy in the Bible, God spends a whole lot of time talking about the day of the Lord, the day of God's wrath, the day of judgment, the earth being melted with a fervent heat. You talk about global warming. When God talks about eternity, He talks much more about the judgment of those that are lost than everybody going to heaven, which is what man wants to think. You know, we even think little doggies go to heaven. And somebody just told me that the other day, and I really couldn't help but to laugh. When they said all dogs, they were talking about their pet dog that died. They said, I'm glad that all dogs go to heaven. I'm glad the Bible says that. No, the Bible doesn't say that, by the way. But I don't know. I read it on the internet somewhere. It must be true. And some preacher said it somewhere. But God talks more about the judgment of God, the wrath of God, when it comes to prophecy, when it comes to things after this world. We know we're going to heaven because we've trusted in Jesus Christ as our Savior. There's no other way to heaven but through Him. What about all the other religions? What about them? I just let the words of Jesus settle that question. He said that He is the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by Me. I'll just say this. Hell was not created for man. Hell was not created for man. Jesus said that hell is a place of torments. It's a place of everlasting fire. A place of everlasting darkness. You say, well, that's a contradiction. When I see fire, it's not dark. The hottest fire is black. Pitch black. Hell is a place of suffering, of agony, and torture. It was created for the demons of hell. That the demons that once were in heaven serving God, the devil being their leader, as he was cast out of heaven and they prepared a place for him in the bottomless pit and then eventually into the lake of fire. And some of them are chained there already because they're so wicked and so vile. Many of them are roaming the earth today because when Adam and Eve sinned, they opened the door for the devils to come in and control the minds and the hearts of men. And without being saved, I'm a child of the devil and condemned to spend eternity in a devil's hell. And someone would say, and I've heard people say this, I actually heard someone, not directly, I read a preacher giving an account of someone asking him this question. I've had plenty of people ask me this. Well, how can a loving God send anybody to hell? Let me say, first of all, you're asking the wrong question. How could a loving God send anybody to hell? God doesn't send anybody to hell. God doesn't send. If you die and go to hell without Jesus Christ, and you spend eternity in hell, it's not because God sent you there. You chose to go there. Adam chose to disobey. Adam was created in the image of God without sin, and he chose sin. And we all have followed in the chain of Adam, our earthly father. We're created in the image of Adam as sinners. And when we sin, every sin we commit, we choose to go to hell. By the way, I'm glad even now as a sinner, my sins are covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. Because I still do sin. I sin more than I can ever even comprehend. I sin. And anybody that thinks that they don't sin is nothing but a fool. And some Christians promote the fact that they've reached this state where they don't sin anymore. No, you've just been blinded to reality is what you've been done. That's not good English, is it? But it works. All right? You are lost and you're dying in your sin, but the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all sin, but only when that blood's been applied, when we come to Him for salvation. When I called upon Him as my Savior, He died for all my sin. And now my sin doesn't send me to hell, but my sin breaks that bond and fellowship that I ought to have with God. But I'm still His child. The question is not how could a loving God send anyone to hell? The real question should be, how could anyone choose to go to hell when they know what the Bible says about heaven and hell? That's a question I will never know the answer to. Yet many people choose hell. Well, I just don't believe it. He just chose hell. Because we're saved by faith in Jesus Christ. Well, if God would just prove Himself, I got news for you. If God proved Himself to you, you still wouldn't be saved. You see, the demons never questioned whether or not God existed. They talked to Him. They knew He existed, but they rejected Him. And the Bible very clearly says that faith is always, or salvation is always by faith. And sometimes I kind of get tickled over the fact that a lot of folks think, well, if we can just prove that there really was a flood in Noah's day, we found the ark and we can prove, there it is. Everybody will get saved because we've got proof. Sorry, they still won't get saved. Salvation is always by faith. And God's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. He that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. I've trusted Christ as my Savior. The question is not, well, why would God send anyone to hell? The question is, why would you reject God's salvation? When God freely offers salvation to whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, and is as clear as can be in the Word of God. And I know religion's complicated a lot in a lot of people's eyes, and our own understanding and our own philosophy, our own education system has complicated a lot of things, but God has written it so easily that a child can understand what salvation is all about. It's that simple. Why would you reject it? I don't know. That's what I'll never understand. You see, someday I'm going to be in heaven. I've got a little taste of it now. I've seen it through the eye of faith. I read about it in the Bible. I've read, when you're traveling somewhere, you get a little brochure about it that describes what it's like. I've read that about heaven in the Bible, but I've never actually been there. One day I'm going to be there. And I'm going to see it all. I'm going to be in the very presence. And I'm looking forward to being in that place. And some folks say, well, I just don't believe such a place exists. Well, you're missing out. You're missing out. Why would you reject it? The Bible very clearly tells us where you're headed without Christ. Why would you reject Christ to go to a devil's hell? That's what I don't understand. One day I'm going to see and understand everything there is in heaven. But even when I'm in heaven, I don't believe I'll ever understand why anyone would reject Christ and spend eternity in hell. I don't think I'll ever comprehend that one. In fact, God says later in the book of Revelation, He's going to block the memory of all that out of our mind, because we'll never enjoy heaven when we're constantly thinking about our loved ones that are in hell. God's going to have to just take that out of our mind completely one day. But why you would choose that, I have no understanding. And I never will understand why anyone would choose hell over heaven. Heaven's real. And if heaven's real, hell must be real. I'm going to ask you to stand.